If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to continue what we tried to study this morning, but I want to begin. I don't want to go back to Amos tonight. For the sake of time, I want to go to the book of Hosea. I ask you to turn to Hosea chapter 13. This morning we tried to look, while you're turning to Hosea chapter 13, I'll just briefly remind you that this morning we tried to look at the book of Amos, Amos chapter 4, verses 6 through 12, where God says, I keep sending these various chastisements upon you, and yet even though I send one chastisement after another, you still are not returning unto me. And so after he says that four or five times, then he says, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And that's talking about God coming and meeting his people in severe judgment. It was too late at that time. It was too late for Israel to repent. He was saying, you go ahead and gather together all you want to. Let's see you stand in my presence. Let's see you stand against the fury of God. And that's a frightening, frightening thing to know that God will sometimes just say to us, all right, you have hardened your heart. You have turned your back on me. Now you prepare yourself. I'm fixing to come in severe judgment. My daddy sometimes would warn me when I would do things that was wrong. And then occasionally he would say, go down the hall and get ready. And we had a place in the hall when I was in high school. We had a large hall there that was the place where you talk about going behind the woodshed. Well, that was the place where I went behind the woodshed. And I'd go down the hall. And when he said, go down the hall and get ready, I could cry. I could promise, I could do anything I want to. He was saying, I'm fixing to come and wear you out, and you go get ready. And when he meant get ready, he meant go down the hall and you get in position, you hold your ankles. That was the position I had to get in order to receive my whippings, and I would have to go down there and hold my ankles while he wore me out. You may think that was too harsh, but that was what I needed, and it was good for me. And I thank God for the daddy that I had. And he never whipped me except it was something that I needed a good whipping for. So I thank the Lord for a good daddy, and I'm thankful that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us so much that he will not allow us to walk contrary to his word and way without him coming. And first he comes. How many of you remember, how many of you had parents that were good disciplinarians and maybe the first thing they would do is just look at you? How many of you remember parents that would just look at you and you just felt like that it was just burning a hole and you just kind of melted when they looked at you? Well, I think that's the way we sometimes feel. I think sometimes I just feel God looking at me and I feel convicted just from his look at me. There are other times that he comes a little more severely and he comes and he verbally, sometimes he will verbally warn me and chastise me, and he'll say something that will cause me to have great fear. Sometimes God speaks to me through his word. Sometimes he speaks to my heart by his spirit, but it's very severe warning. You'd better behave. Have any of you felt a little more severe than just the look, but you hear the words? And then sometimes he may say, now, if this happens again, then you're going to experience the chastening. And that's a frightening thing when God comes and judges us, because did you know there's not a one of us that can stand in the presence of God? When God comes, when God says, go get ready, you're going to experience the judgments of God. And so God in Amos chapter 6, that's all taught in Amos 6 verses 4 through 12, but God said finally to them, after he had warned them, he finally said, now prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. God was saying, I'm fixing to come, and I'm fixing to carry out my judgment on you because of your rebellion. I want to read from Hosea. We're talking about meeting God. This morning we tried to talk about meeting God in prayer and meeting God in worship. And we need to learn that we must prepare to meet God in prayer. There are preparations that we need to make in order to be able to commune with God in prayer. There are preparations. Prepare to meet thy God in worship. There are preparations that we need to make in coming to worship God. And tonight we're going to look just briefly again at the fact that sometimes God says, prepare to meet thy God, and he's talking about meeting him in severe judgment. I want to read now from Hosea. I encourage you to look at, in the Word of God, Hosea chapter 13. I want to read verses 4 through 8 because this is very similar to the passage in Amos chapter 4, but it's talking about God's fixing to come. God's about to come, and he's going to meet you. You'll see the word meet. God's going to come and meet us. And we need to prepare to meet our God. In Hosea chapter 13, beginning with verse 4, Hosea 13, beginning in verse 4, the Word of God says, Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, and in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Now, what's God saying right here? Have we ever been filled and then forgot God? Do you think that maybe as a nation that we've been blessed so much, we've been filled, and because of God pouring out His blessings, that sometimes we forget God? That's the condition of Israel here. He says, you have been filled, and now you have forgotten God. Verse 7 says, Therefore, I will be unto them as a lion. Now, does the Word of God talk about Jesus being the Lamb of God? Do we love to think about, would you like to hear a sermon on Jesus is the Lamb of God? John the Baptist says, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I love to think about Jesus being the Lamb of God, and that as the Lamb of God, He died and saved me from my sins. That's a wonderful blessing to think about Jesus as the Lamb of God. The Word of God also says in Revelation chapter 5, I believe in verse 9, that we're to behold not only the Lamb of God, but we're to behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is the Lamb of God, but Jesus is also called the Lion. And that's what God is saying here. I'm going to come and I'm going to meet you, and I'm going to come like a lion. In Hosea chapter 13, verse 7, he says, Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. Now what's that talking about? You think about a leopard by the way observing. You think about a lion just observing. What kind of picture do you get there? Just the observation. I picture a lion or a cat or something like that crouching down and getting ready to attack. He says, I'm going to come as a lion and as a leopard will I observe them. Now listen carefully to verse 8. Verse 8, God says, I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps. Sometimes I've seen movies where a bear would, someone would have a cub and you're warned repeatedly, don't you ever try to catch a cub, a bear cub. Why? Because there's nothing more angry than a bear that has someone is beginning to hurt their cubs. And so God says, I'm going to come to you like a bear that someone has attacked their cubs. I will meet thee as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion, the wild beast shall tear them. Do you hear the expression that God's making to His people? And again, now these are not to dead alien sinners talking about the end of the time world. This is talking about God judging His people that He had blessed and He had filled them to overflowing, and they then forgot God, and God says, I'm going to come to you like a bear, I'm going to come to you like a lion, and I'm going to come, and did you notice the word meet in verse 8? He says, I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps. Now, prepare to meet God. Let's see you prepare to meet that. What can you do to prepare for that? Do you see that there is no preparation that you can do? There's no way you can deliver yourself when God comes in the manner that He's talking about here. He's saying it is too late. And that happened. Let me ask you, give me any example that you can think of in the Word of God where God came to someone and it was too late for them to repent. And I'm not talking about a too late doctrine where they were going to die and go to hell. I'm talking about it was too late for them to change the course of their action because God was going to carry out His judgment. Can you think of God coming to somebody? Okay, God came to David through the prophet, And the prophet of God described a scene, and David said, anybody that would take a man's lamb and do what he did, that man ought to die. And the prophet said to David, thou art the man. Well, brethren, it was too late for David right then. It was too late for David to say, I'm sorry. It was too late for him to repent, because God says, I'm going to come and carry out my judgment. He says, I'm going to take your son because you've allowed the enemies of God, you've given them reason to blaspheme against God and the people of God and the cause of God. Listen, brethren, was it too late for David to repent right then?
Amen.
Indeed it was. Did David cry to the Lord?
Amen.
Did he pray?
Yeah.
Did he fast? Did he beg God, please don't take my son? You see, it was too late. Prepare to meet God, David. Let's see you stand up now. Think of somebody else that you know that God came to in the same way, that's teaching the same truth, that it's too late when God says, now you prepare. The way He's talking about in Amos 4:12 and the way He's talking about Hosea 13, tell me another example of somebody that God came to and it was, prepare to meet me. Let me see you stand in my presence. It was too late for them to repent. Who else can you think of? Okay, every one of you, right. Let's go back to Adam and Eve. Sister Jane said Adam and Eve. Well, when God came to them and God began to speak to them, now God had already been talking with Adam, but after Adam and Eve had partaken of the forbidden fruit, you remember God came and began to speak and say, where art thou? You remember all that transpired there. Was it too late for Adam and Eve to repent? Was there anything they could do to stand in the presence of God? What did they do? They tried to run. They tried to hide. There was no place to hide from God. And they were cast out of the Garden of Eden because it was too late for them to repent. And all through the Scriptures, there were a number of others of you that gave good examples of people that had disobeyed God. And God came to them and says, now I'm going to carry out my judgments in your life. And you go ahead and prepare. You do everything you can. But if you know when God comes, there's nothing you can do to withstand His fiery judgments. Now, I want to shift from that where there is no hope. I want to shift from that to prepare to meet thy God where there is hope. Okay? I'm shifting now. I'm shifting to that from that point where it's a point of no return. I'm shifting from that to a message that God gives us in His Word where God tells me and you as His people, before it's too late, He says, now, you prepare to meet God, because you're going to meet God. You're going, not talking about you're going to meet your Creator back up in eternal heaven. I'm talking about you're going to meet God today. You're going to meet Him tomorrow. And you need to prepare to meet God. Go with me in your Bibles, please, to Matthew. Let's go to the New Testament. I want to talk about meeting God and the preparation that we need to do to meet God. Prepare to meet God. Every day I need to be prepared to meet God. Every day. Not just meeting Him in prayer, meeting Him in worship, but I need to be prepared to meet Him because Jesus Christ is the judge that comes and judges us according to our works. Some people say, well, I don't believe God's going to reward us according to our works. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I'm talking about primitive Baptists. God doesn't reward us according to our works. Listen, brethren, you don't know the Word of God if you don't think God doesn't reward us according to our works. Now, our works are not what get us into eternal heaven. We're not going to get some final reward. I've heard so many preachers say, well, I'm just looking forward to my final reward one day because of trying to serve God. Listen, brethren, any rewards we get for our obedience and faithfulness to God, we receive those rewards in the kingdom of heaven while we live right here. When we get to the eternal heaven, there aren't going to be any big eyes and little U's. There aren't going to be some people close to Jesus and others way back there on the back 40. There aren't going to be some people in a little cabin and others dwelling in some great mansion. When we get to the eternal heaven, everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be holy. Everybody's going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. And you cannot improve on absolute perfection. And everybody that's going to be there is going to be absolutely perfect. Heaven's a wonderful place. And it's all because of grace, the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. And yet that same God who's going to carry us home to be with Him forever, that same God comes and deals with His children while they live here in this world. And we need, as His children, to prepare to meet Him every day. I heard a story one time about the caretaker, I think it was the Biltmore house in, was that North Carolina or Nashville? Asheville, North Carolina. I read one time that a man came up to him and he was looking at the caretaker, and he was just working and laboring, just keeping everything immaculate and working so hard. And somebody came up to him and said, "How long has it been since the person who owned this house has been here?" And he said, 14 years. He said, 14 years? Said, "Why are you working so hard? You're working like you expect him to come today, like you expect him to come tomorrow." He said, "Today, sir, today." In other words, he was expecting every day, today. Every day he was working like, "Now, if my master comes today, I want to be ready today. And I want every one of us to be ready today because he's coming today. He comes tonight, he comes today, he'll come tomorrow, and he comes and he judges us. He is coming, he is here." Now begin in Matthew chapter 16. Listen, I want you to see Jesus judging us according to our works while we live here in this world. I want to begin in Matthew chapter 16, verses 27 and 28. Jesus Christ told his people while he lived here in this world that he was about to come and establish his kingdom. He was about to come, set up his kingdom, and begin to judge his people according to their works. Matthew chapter 16, listen please, beginning in verse 27. And remember now, the words I'm reading to you was Jesus still here on the earth when he spoke these words. He was still here in the body, and yet he's going to talk about a future coming. If I were to say right now, "Stand up and tell me about the second coming of Christ," what would most people start talking about? The final coming. That's exactly right. Listen, "Jesus, tell me about the first coming. When was the first coming?" The first coming was when Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Is that when he began? No, that's not when he began. Jesus is eternal. But the first coming of Christ was when he came and was born of the Virgin Mary. And then the Word of God tells us that while he was here, during his lifetime here, he kept telling the people that he was talking to, "I'm coming soon, and get ready for me when I come, because when I come, I'm going to judge you according to your works." That's the message that Jesus gave over and over. "I'm coming in my kingdom." Listen, brethren, he has already come. He is in his kingdom. He's King of Kings right now and Lord of Lords. He has established his kingdom. And that's what's taught here in Matthew 16, 27 and 28. Listen, Matthew 16, 27, Jesus, while he was here on this earth, said, "For the Son of Man shall come." Is that future tense? From the time he spoke it. Was that future tense from the time he spoke those words? Yes. "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Is this a reward according to works? Can you do something to prepare for this coming that he's talking about? Prepare to meet Jesus. Prepare to meet thy God. He says in verse 28, now if you stop there, where could you run to with this verse? If there was no verse 28, where would you run to? Run to eternal heaven. Yeah, and say, well, you get to heaven based on your works. Well, the Word of God declares our eternal salvation is not by our works, not of works, not according to our works. So eternal salvation cannot be under consideration here. But in verse 28, he makes it especially clear. After he says the Son of Man shall come, and he's going to reward every man according to his works. In verse 28 he says, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." What was he telling those people? It was just like him talking to a group of people like I'm trying to talk to tonight and saying, there's some of you standing here, there's some of you sitting here that you're not going to taste of death till you see Christ come in his kingdom. And brethren, before all those people died, Jesus came again. He came in his kingdom. He established his kingdom. And he began to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is rewarding his people according to their works right now. Can you prepare to meet him day by day in your life? Can you prepare the way this is talking about? Yes, you can. Go to Matthew chapter 24 now. We're going to concentrate the rest of our time tonight on Matthew chapters 24 and 25. And I encourage you to look at the Bible in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 is primarily talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, the end of the first Jerusalem, the end of the old Jerusalem, the end of the first heaven and the first earth, and the establishment of the new heaven and the new earth, the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 24 is describing the destruction of Jerusalem. Matthew 25 is talking about the coming of the New Jerusalem. What's the New Jerusalem also called here in Matthew 25? What's it called? Kingdom of Heaven. Matthew 24 now. Back up to Matthew 24 and verse 42. Matthew 24, verse 42, he says, "Watch, therefore." Watch, therefore. "For ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." What coming is he talking about right here in Matthew 24, 42? What had he just been talking about in Matthew 16? Yes, his second coming. By second coming, what do you mean? Yes, him coming to judge his people according to their works. Are you talking about his final coming? No. I'm talking about something, him coming in his kingdom. That's right. And so Jesus came the first time, was born of the Virgin Mary, lived an absolutely perfect life, set a great example for us, established his church, and he died on the cross of Calvary, and he saved us from our sins. That was the primary work of his first coming. His second coming was to establish his kingdom and to begin to judge his people according to their works. Now, he says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." Listen, verse 43 and 44. "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come..." Is he comparing himself to a thief right here? Yes. Heads are going, no. Yes, he is. Now, Jesus is not a thief. What's Jesus doing when he says, "If the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come"? What's he mean he's coming as a thief? You better be ready. What else, Sister Cheryl? It's a surprise. Does the thief announce his coming? "Get ready, I'm coming tomorrow at 3 o'clock. I'll be at your house tomorrow night at 12 o'clock. No. A thief comes in such an hour as you don't expect him to come. In the darkness he comes. Typically that's when a thief comes. And so it is that verse 43 the Scripture says, "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." He says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Jesus comes as a thief. Not that he's a thief, but he comes quickly. He comes in an hour they do not expect him. They're surprised when he comes. And so, what do you always need to do? Be what?
Be ready.
Be ready. Be prepared. Prepare. Prepare. Can you do something to prepare God? Prepare to meet God, as this passage is talking about. Yes, you can. "Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." Come down now to chapter 25, verse 1. I want us to look right now primarily at the parable of the 10 virgins. Now listen carefully. The parable of the 10 virgins is about going out to meet somebody. Do all of you remember that? The 10 virgins, I want to just read you verse 6, and then we're going to come back and show you that they're going to meet somebody. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 6, the Word of God says, "And at midnight..." When's the thief going to come? Midnight. "And at midnight," the Word of God says, "and at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh." What's the next phrase? "Go ye out to meet him." Now, you're going to have to meet the Lord. I'm not talking about meeting him in the final resurrection. I'm talking about you're going to have to meet him day by day in your life. And you need to get ready to meet him. He says, "The bridegroom comes. Now go meet the Lord. Prepare to meet the Lord." Now go back to Matthew 25:1. Matthew 25:1. Let me just briefly say this. There are some people that view this parable as talking about five people going to heaven when they die and five people going to hell when they die. This is not talking about heaven when you die and hell when you die. It's talking about a heaven while you live here on this earth versus a hell while you live here on this earth. God is speaking to His people, and He says there were ten what?
Virgins.
10 virgins. They all 10 are virgins. You know what virgins represent? Something that's pure and holy and righteous. And listen, 5 of those virgins were wise and 5 of those virgins were foolish. Did you know sometimes I'm a foolish virgin? Did you know that? And occasionally I'm a wise virgin, but did you know every one of us here sometimes we're wise and sometimes we're foolish? In fact, Jesus says this in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. He says, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a what? A wise man that built his house on the rock." Anytime I'm hearing the Word of God and doing what God tells me to do, I'm a wise virgin. I'm a wise builder. But He says, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man that built his house on the sand." Who is it that's foolish? It's those that hear the Word of God, but they don't do what God's Word tells them to do. Who can hear the Word of God? The Word of God says that Jesus, 27 times in the New Testament, you'll find this expression, that Jesus says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. He that hath an ear, let him hear." What happens? Too many times God's people hear what God's saying. God warns them, and yet they hear what He says, but they don't do anything about what He tells them to do. Do any of you remember any time your parents told you to do something that you didn't do what they told you to do? Now, does that mean you were no longer their child? No, but what did it mean?
Prepare.
That's right. Many times. We had a lot of rules around our house, but one of them was when you got home from school, you went in, you changed your clothes, and you did your homework, and then if you had time, you could come out and play. My daddy would be out visiting. I'd come home from school, and my friends would be out there playing, and I'd run out there and start playing. We lived on a dead-end street. Many times when we'd be out there playing football on dead-end street, I'd look up and I'd see that little Volkswagen coming down the hill. I thought, oh, my goodness. And I'd run just as hard as I could to the house and get in there and open my books and everything. Well, it was too late. It was too late. I don't think I ever tricked him, not a time. Usually I would do what he said. Usually I'd go in and change my clothes and do the homework. But when I did not do what he told me to do, it seemed like every time he'd come from visiting early. I don't know how it all worked out that way, but I'm just telling you, you cannot. How many of you children have learned it looks like every time you do something wrong, you get caught? Are there any children that have learned that it looks like every time you do something, you get caught? Well, listen, Brett Walkers and Courtney say that it looks like in their lives, and Caleb. Listen, brethren, you cannot. Listen, you may sometimes hide something from your parents, but you cannot hide anything from God. You can do everything you want to. You can do it in the dark. You can do it in a city where nobody else knows you. You can do anything you want to. You can, any men and women that look at things on the computer that they ought not to, let me tell you something. God's watching, and God's going to bring every evil work into judgment. God cares about His people. God will not allow you or me to do things contrary to His Word without Him coming. And when I'm a foolish virgin, He's going to shut me out of the kingdom and do worse than that if I continue to disobey Him. My house will fall. Did you know my house can fall? That foolish man that built his house upon the sand, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, doeth them not, likening him unto a foolish man. We're talking about wise versus foolish. Talking about children of God versus children of the devil? No, we're talking about all 10 children of God. Look now at Matthew 25, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God says, Matthew 25, verse 1, when? Right after what? What's all 24 about? What's chapter Matthew 24 about? It's about the destruction of Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem. And then what's 25 about? It's about the coming of the new Jerusalem, or the kingdom of heaven. He describes the destruction of Jerusalem in Matthew 24. In fact, if you'll notice in verse 34, Matthew 24 and verse 34, he says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Everything that he talked about in Matthew 24, it was fulfilled in that generation. Now in Matthew 25 he says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps." Did all of them have lamps? Did all 10 of these have lamps? Did the foolish ones have lamps? They all 10 had lamps. You know what Jesus says to his children? He says, "You are the light of the world." You know why we're the light of the world? It's because God is light and God dwells in us. And because God dwells in us, He says, "Let your light shine." And all 10 of these to begin with, they all 10 had their light shining to begin with. The Word of God says they took their lamps and went forth to what? What's the next word? They went forth to what? To meet the bridegroom. Had they prepared themselves at this point, as far as you can tell, had they all 10 prepared to meet the bridegroom? All right. All 10 went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2 says, "And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them." Verse 4 says, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." I want to tell you something, brethren, what I see in this. I see that these 5 wise virgins, they had a lamp in one hand, and what did they have in the other hand? They had an oil can. Good as any expression. They had an oil can. They had a vessel that had oil in it in the other hand. I see total commitment there. In one hand they had their lamp shining, in the other hand they had a vessel with oil in it. Total commitment to God. Total commitment to meeting to going and meet the bridegroom. But listen, those foolish, they had the lamp in one hand and they didn't carry anything in this other hand. You know what many of God's children try to do? Hold hands with God with one hand, and what do they want to do with the other hand? Hold hands with the world. What does Jesus say? You cannot serve God and mammon. You try to hold on with God, let your light shine one hand, run around and do other things with the other hand. You prepare to meet your God. Your God's coming. These 10 virgins, they went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. They all 10 had lamps. They all 10 had their light shine. They all 10 were virgins. But 5 of them took oil in a vessel. Verse 6 says, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Go ye out to what? To meet him. What are we talking about? Prepare to what? Prepare to meet thy God. Verse 7 says, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. Verse 10 says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready. Can you get ready to meet the bridegroom? Amen. Do you need to stay ready to meet the bridegroom every day? He says, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now what's this whole parable about? Is it talking about going to heaven when you die? What's the first phrase in Matthew 25? Then shall the what? Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. This parable of going into the marriage is talking about entering into the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Word of God says this kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God is within you. Luke 17:21. Brethren, the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven is completely different than the eternal heaven where we go when we die. Entering the eternal heaven is by grace, but entering the kingdom of heaven is based on us preparing to meet our God every day. The 5 wise virgins went into the marriage and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord. Now, did they know Jesus as their Lord? I believe they did. In fact, Jesus gives a beautiful portrayal, a pre-portrayal of this in Matthew 7:21. Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Entering the kingdom of heaven is based on doing the will of the Father, doing good works. Why didn't these 5 foolish virgins, why didn't they enter in? It's because they carried their lamps, but they didn't carry the vessels with oil in it. So the Word of God says, afterward came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Don't you think that most of God's people in America today think all you got to do is just call on Him? Just call on His name. Anytime you want to, when God begins to chasten you, all you got to do is just say, Lord, have mercy, and you're going to just be relieved of any kind of judgment. That's false doctrine. False. You can't just cry, Lord, Lord, and Him open the door or not carry out judgment. There's a too late doctrine taught in the Word of God. We need to prepare to meet our God every day. Prepare to meet thy Lord. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. The five foolish virgins said, Lord, Lord, open to us. Verse 12 says, but he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore for ye. What does the word I know you not? I know. What does that mean? Say it again, Brother Clay. Yes, intimate fellowship and communion. Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare a son. What's God say to these foolish virgins? I know you not. I do not have fellowship. I do not have intimate fellowship with you. Listen, brethren, it's a serious thing. We're in critical times in our nation, in our land, in our lives. We are in very, very critical times. I beg you in the name of Christ, if you believe in Jesus, if you believe the Word of God, I encourage you that you do what God says to do every day, and every day you be ready to meet Jesus every day. Thank God He saved you by grace, but also thank God He loves you enough. He's not going to allow you to walk contrary to His Word without bringing His chastening rod in your life. May God help us to prepare to meet our God every day is my prayer.